All right, we want to praise the Lord on this January, I believe it's the 18th, on a Wednesday night service here at Landmark Baptist Church. Just me and Brother Ed right now, but sometimes we have people show up a little later. Mm-hmm. And glad to have Brother Ed here. Philip, there in Acts chapter number 8, didn't have but one. But with that one, the Bible said he preached unto him, Jesus.
That's right.
Told him that Ethiopian eunuch, and if you can't preach to one, the Lord said, be faithful in a little, one day make you master over much. I say this to encourage my preaching brothers out there. I'll be faithful in what you got. God will give you more, amen. Mm-hmm. We're going to try to sing tonight, number 31. Won't it be wonderful there?
Hi, Mary.
And I know it will be wonderful there. And I can't wait to get there.
Amen. That's right.
It'll be worth the wait.
Yes. Hi, Brenda.
Number 31. When with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful there? And in the troubles and cares of the sorry land, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with harp bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? Walking and talking with Christ the Supernal One, won't it be wonderful there? Praising, adoring the matchless Eternal One, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with harp bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? There where the tempest will never be sweeping us, won't it be wonderful there? Sure that forever the Lord will be keeping us, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with harp bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? I say amen, it will be.
Yes, it will be.
Paul got caught up into the third heaven, and he brought back this report far better.
Yes, that's right.
And if you know your Bible, you'll notice that he was somewhat suicidal from the time he came back down here till he finished his course. He said, I refuse not to die. He said, I'm ready to die. I mean, buddy, he was ready to get out of here.
Yeah.
Heaven ruined him for this world. I had a dream last night about my cousin been passed away. Well, let's see here. Tell you how long he's been gone. Old Barry, my cousin. He passed away in 2009, April the 3rd.
Wow.
I had a dream last night that I called him on the phone. And in my dream, he called me and said, what'd you want? I said, what do you mean? He said, I seen where I had a missed call from you. And I said, I was just wondering what you're doing. Of course, this is a dream, mind you now.
Yeah.
But I ended up going over there and spending some time with him. He's working on something. And we sat there and talked. And you know, heaven will be a lot like that.
Amen, that's right.
We'll be able to go over and spend some time with people that mean a lot to us. Yeah. People that we, you know, we're acquainted with, that we loved.
Yes.
Wives, husbands, children. I was just thinking, I've got a young daughter up there since 1995.
Mm.
And an older daughter, I think 2018 or 19.
18.
See if I got her obituary. I'm getting where I can't remember nothing. This guy here is the one who told me how to be saved. Wendell Shaw's one gave me that simple illustration. I'll get talked to old Wendell again.
Hey, man.
In 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have we'll be wonderful there, but we'll have a lot of acquaintance.
He knows you're coming. He's waiting on you, ain't he?
We'll have a lot of acquaintance. There's my mother.
Oh, my.
My mom, she passed away 2003. I keep these so I won't forget them. That's my dad.
Wow.
2008. There's my cousin Barry. And here's my daughter. My beautiful.
Yes, yeah, she was.
Beautiful daughter.
Yes, yeah, she was.
2020. October the 23rd, 2020. Oh, my. But it will be wonderful there. And we'll get to renew acquaintance. We'll have plenty of time, but I thought about that when I was singing that song. Won't it be wonderful there?
October what, brother? 2020?
October 23rd, 2020. My oldest daughter graduated this life. And we got several people here. We're going to have a word of prayer, I think. Prayer is something we need to do more of. Amen?
Yes, Lord.
Jesus said to He would that men everywhere might pray and not faint.
Yeah.
And I think about all we do anymore is faint, seldom ever pray.
Mm-hmm.
I pray quite a bit this morning and yesterday morning and most time every morning. But we want to pray tonight for these on this list here, Brother Roger Nahart and Sister Joyce Anna, Patricia Lynn Cross, Brother Mitchell Bray, and Phyllis, his wife, Sister Joanne Smith,
yeah.
Sister Ashley and her children,
yeah.
Sister Bessie, and we'll probably mention some more. I know one thing, I'm going to come out of this jacket.
Yeah,
this old bald head getting sweaty.
Yeah.
So we'll lay his jacket over here. And Lord, we come to you tonight. We just thank you, Lord, for the great mercy.
Yeah.
Lord, for the great love that you have to us, Lord. I would that we could love like you love, Lord. That we could learn how to love like you love. I'm so glad, Lord, you love us. You gave yourself for us. Lord, you put up with us. You're constantly, Lord, forgiving us and helping us. We thank you for that.
Yes.
I pray, dear Father God, tonight for your blessings upon our efforts tonight. And I pray, Father God, tonight for Brother Roger Nahart. I pray for Sister Joyce Anna, an unspoken request. I pray for Sister Patricia Lynn Cross.
Yeah.
I pray for Sister Brenda Goth. I think she's having trouble with her knee. We love Sister Brenda. If she'd been here tonight, she'd have had the song. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah.
Brother Mitchell, Sister Phyllis, his wife. Pray for Sister Joanne Smith. The Lord, her health's in decline. We love Sister Joanne. We miss her, Lord.
Yes,
Lord. She'd be here if she could. She'd sing tonight if she could. We love her. We pray your blessings on her. I pray, Lord Father, for Sister Ashley and her children. Pray for Sister Bessie. Lord, we pray, Father God, tonight. Lord, for James and Star and James Jr. Lord, I know it won't be long. They'll be back in church. We sure do miss them. I pray for Jordan and Casey. I pray, dear Father God, tonight for Ronnie Lindsay, Brother Patrick's dad. Lord, still recovering. Lord, having trouble, Lord. We pray for him with his health. I pray, Lord, for Patrick and Sarah tonight, for little Lucy, Chase. Lord, for Micah, Jake. Lord, we pray, Father, Lord, tonight for Lord Carol, Larry. Pray for Serenity. Pray for Leroy. Lord, we pray, dear Father, Lord, tonight for Sybil and Sharon, thank you for that good report. Sharon got, Lord, we rejoice with her.
Yes.
Lord, we pray, Lord, tonight for Rita and Eric and her husband, Joe. Pray, dear Father, Lord, tonight for Lord Denny and Sue. Pray, Father, Lord, tonight for James and Patty. I pray for Mark and Kay. Lord, help Mark to heal up from his surgery. Help Kay's health to get better.
Yeah.
Pray for Mark's two sisters, Patty and Bonnie. Lord, I pray for Patty's daughter, Denise. I pray for Bonnie's son, Billy, and Kevin. Pray, Lord, Father, for their mother. Lord, I pray, dear God, tonight for Miranda and Mark, Caden and Tavian. I pray, dear Father, Lord, tonight, Sister Carolyn and Jerry, their son Danny, his wife Tammy, Lord, little Thomas, little Abby, little Lindsay, little Landon, and Lord, we pray for all the young people, Lord. I pray for Brother Ed and Brother Donnie. Lord, we're thankful, Father, for this little church, and we pray you bless it, Lord, and help it, Father.
Yes.
And Lord, pray for other churches, Lord, that God, you would help them to fill their pews and help them, Lord, to see souls saved and help them, Lord, I pray, to get happy about heaven and about the things of God and help them, Lord, I pray, to get off, Lord, of the things of this world and get on to the things of God and get excited about them.
Yes.
Lord, bless our lesson tonight. Bless our efforts, Lord, tonight. Help us, Lord, I pray. And help our country, Lord, I pray. And we just pray, Lord, it won't be long. You'll be coming for us.
Amen.
We'll make our exodus out of our Egypt.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we'll ask it tonight.
Amen.
All right, we finished up Acts chapter 5. And we're starting in Acts chapter number 6. And this chapter is about the first deacons. And boy, I sure am thankful for my deacon. I've got a good deacon. I think the best that any preacher could ever have. Brother Ed, we love him to death. We're thankful for our deacon. But here, there was a great need. This chapter does a good job of bringing this out. And they'd just been beaten in the last chapter, verse 40. They called the apostles and they beaten them and commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And they let them go and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They just couldn't discourage. They couldn't defeat these apostles. Verse 42 said, "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ."
Yes.
And we're in chapter 6. And it said, "In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." Now, like I said, you can count on problems when you're in the temple teaching and preaching Jesus.
Yes.
They got here murmuring. These Grecians here, they're Hellenist, they're a type of Jews, and their gripe is that their widows are being neglected in the daily ministration. In the 12, verse 2, "Then the 12 called a multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." What they said was, "We got bigger fish to fry." You can get caught up or carried away from the most important things if you're not careful.
Yeah.
A lot of preachers, I think, may be carrying too much on their shoulders, and that's what's going on right here.
Uh-huh.
They're attending to the Word of God, and they don't want to leave the Word of God. They're not only reading, teaching and preaching, this work needs to keep going. And therefore they come up with this plan in verse 3. And they say, "Wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men."
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking for some help.
Mm-hmm.
And they're choosing in this help seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Boy, wouldn't that be good if our government looked in that same manner? I'm a little disappointed that we have a government right now that does not represent this country. It represents everything but America.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to get political tonight. I just want to get this off my chest.
Go right ahead.
I think America has lost the ability to say no.
Yeah.
We got one woman up there. I didn't write her name down. I'm not going to mention her name. But she's trying to pass a law to be able to prosecute racism. And it's full of cobwebs. It's full of all kind of double talk and stuff. All I want to say about that is America should say no, we're not racist. That'd be a true statement.
Right.
I know that there is probably some in America that may have some racist spirit about them.
Yeah.
No matter how many laws you pass, you're never going to get rid of that. Only the love of Jesus can cause someone to truly love others.
That's right.
Somebody said you spell joy like this: Jesus first, others second, and yourself last.
Right.
Now, what causes racism is because someone thinks too much of their self and too little of others. There will be no racism in heaven.
No.
And there shouldn't be any here. But I really don't like this racism being promoted in our government. She should be arrested for instigating something that's truly not there. I've lived in this country 69 years. I'm not going to say there's not any racism. I just want you to know it's not an epidemic.
No, that's right.
And they call it systemic racism, all that. What they're doing is trying to make a problem where there is not a problem.
Amen, that's right.
It goes both ways. A young girl went to a ball game with her father, went to the restroom, was abducted in the restroom. They couldn't find her. The FBI found her listed on the internet completely nude, listed for prostitution. She was white. They were all black. Does that not sound like racism or slavery to you? I'm just telling you, the best thing to do with racism is not pass laws, but really be more open about the conversation. You know, I told you they took the Ten Commandments out because they were afraid children would read them and believe them. What they got in there right now, critical race theory causes people to be more racially inclined. Those Ten Commandments: love your neighbor, forgive, don't steal, don't kill, honor your father and mother. They promote things that are missing in our government. I'm just saying in this verse right here, they just didn't seek out just any men. They sought out men of honest report. I'd like to see some statesmen in our government. Full of the Holy Ghost. Boy, that'll help anybody.
Yes, it would.
I'm going to tell you right now.
Amen.
That's I was full of Eddie Wade for 34 years, and he stunk. And even though I knew he stunk, I couldn't do nothing about it. But I'm glad the Lord throwed him out and put the Holy Ghost in his place.
Amen.
And I'll just tell you right now that these men were chosen carefully. Men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. With no room for nothing else.
No, that's right.
And wisdom. I think, you know, The wisdom of God is better than the wisdom of this world, but I think there ought to be men. They just had some guy get elected that lied about where he went to school, lied about his credentials. Those not the kind of men that we need in our government nor in our churches. But these men here were salt, and the way they saw them was men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. You see, there is a need.
Yes, there's a need.
And they would have to neglect that need to cater to these tables. And listen, I'm not putting down the widows here. Says they were neglected in the daily administration. It's just like I said, they had bigger fish to fry. Mm-hmm. And these deacons helped them in this need. The word deacon is mentioned first in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 1. It's only mentioned twice in the whole Bible. Mm-hmm. But in Philippians chapter 1, says this about deacons here. Well, if I could get to Philippians. It says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons, Paul said, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He mentions them again in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 8. And he talks about deacons. They need to be grave. That means serious.
Right.
Not double-tongued. That means someone that you can trust with what you tell them.
Amen.
Not giving too much wine. Now, before you say anything about that, even today, you know, we take like NyQuil. It's got wine in it.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of medical has wine in it. Well, they didn't have the modern drugs we got today. They didn't have the sulfur drugs and the vaccines and all that stuff. But he says, not given too much wine. So in other words, they could drink a little wine.
Right.
Paul told Timothy to drink a little wine for your stomach's sake.
That's right.
For your often infirmities. It was like a medicine. But he says, not greedy of filthy lucre. You know, money is plaguing our government.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe you could take the money out of our government, and I believe it would fix itself automatically.
Yeah, probably right.
I believe all the thieves and all the money grubbers would leave day one.
Yeah.
And I believe the people that are honestly trying to help this country would stay. Mm-hmm. I know we had a president that worked for free, forfeited his wages.
Yeah, that's right.
The reason he done that was because it wasn't about money. We got one in there right now. They done brought out his, and I'm not getting political, not just making a statement. They brought out his tax statement, and in 1 year he made $11 million, and it doesn't say where it came from. Hmm. Just telling me money. Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil.
Amen.
Some men have sold themselves.
Yes, Lord.
Most of them are in government, and they're not all one party neither. They're all having a problem with it. But let's get back to a lesson here. They said, we'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. And I say amen to that.
Yes, Lord.
You can tell whether a man spends any time in his Bible or not. It'll show up. Verse 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude. Man, that's a miracle in itself. They all liked that statement. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. When they prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now, they had a positive result from this effort, and the efforts were brought this on. They had a problem here, got murmuring, Grecians, they're murmuring against the Hebrews, but out of that came good. You got seven men here full of faith and the Holy Ghost. And it says, verse 8, I like Stephen. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And that sounds pretty good. But it's going to cause problems, I can tell you that right now. You get one man doing something right, and it don't take long for jealousy and problems to come out of that. Verse 9, then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, Christians, and Alexandrians, and of them Cilicia, and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. Now, they got a problem with Stephen because he's full of faith.
Yeah.
He's full of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
He's doing great wonders and miracles among the people. And I want you to know all this good's being spoken against.
Yeah.
Verse 10 said, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. In other words, they was at a loss.
That's right.
That didn't stop them, Brother Ed.
No.
You know, when you're doing something, you can count on the devil to show up. You're doing a work of God.
Yes, Lord.
You can count on the devil to show up and try to intervene. And verse 11, then they suborned men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. I looked up that word, suborned, and it means bribed. They bribed men. They said they paid secretly to be false witnesses or to bear false witness. This happens all through the Bible.
Yeah.
But one that really comes to my mind is 1 Kings chapter 21. Talking about Naboth. Only thing Naboth did wrong was he had a vineyard close to the king's palace, and the king wanted it. And Naboth, somebody wrote a song, Not for Sale. Michael Combs wrote that song. And that's pretty much what Naboth told Ahab, the king. And Ahab goes home and he's pouting, and his wife comes in, verse 5, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite. And he said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. Verse 7, Jezebel his wife said unto him, doest thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, let thy heart be merry. I'll give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Now, nobody needs a wife like Jezebel, but Ahab had her.
Yeah.
Verse 8 says, and she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in those letters, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And set two men, sons of Beel, before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of that city, even the elders and nobles who were inhabitants in this city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she'd sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. There came in two men, children of Beel, and said before him, and the men of Beel witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme the king,
yeah,
of God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones. Then he died. That's just not the way to do it. But that's what they decided to do. They did the same thing to Jesus.
Right.
Matthew chapter 26, verse 59. They stirred up the people. They hired these men, and they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him. You see, they're jealous of Stephen. They can't resist him. He's full and they're empty.
Yeah.
And he's making them look bad and they're mad. So here they come up on him and called him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we've heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place, and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. You know something about Stephen's words, something about his face,
yeah,
something about his spirit. They got their hands full right here. They're lying about him, and here he is glowing like a light bulb. I like Stephen. He preached probably the greatest message right here in chapter 7 that there is in the whole Bible. Then said the high priest, are these things so? And this is what Stephen said. He said, men, brethren, fathers. He's honoring them. He's speaking,
yeah, that's right,
words of honor. Hearken, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham,
yes,
when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when he had, as yet he had no child. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. I mean, he's gumball straight,
yeah,
in what he's saying here.
Mm-hmm.
And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, saith God, and after that they shall come forth and serve me in this place.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begot Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begot Jacob. And Jacob begot the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. You know what? I appreciate Stephen in just a short space here.
Yeah.
He covers a lot of ground.
Yes, he did.
He's good. Says, now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Chanaan in great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And at the second time Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh, then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and all of his kindred, 75 souls. That's 75. So Jacob went down to Egypt, and he died, and her fathers, and were carried over into Sychem, and laid in the sepulcher that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Emor, the father of Sychem. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtlety with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end, they may not live. You know, God told Abraham ever build this before it ever even happened.
Right.
In which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, he's 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Mm-hmm. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. Remember, he's 40 years old.
Mm-hmm.
For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove. It's a fighting bunch. And would have set them at one again, saying, "Sirs, ye are brethren, why do you wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us?
Mm-hmm.
Will thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday?" Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons. And when 40 years were expired, that means Moses is now 80 years old,
yeah,
there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in the flame of fire in the bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him.
Brother Eddie, I have a question for
you. Yeah.
How was Moses when the Lord gave him the authority to write the law? Do you have any idea?
I know he was in the wilderness 40 years, so
yeah.
420 years. It's somewhere between 80 and 120 years.
Okay.
Because he come to deliver Israel out of Egypt at 80 years old, and then he had to put up with him for 40 more years, and it was during those 40 years that God met him on Mount Sinai and gave him the law.
Yeah.
But somewhere between 80 and 120 years.
Okay, then.
God spoke to him saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground.
Amen.
What's a good place to be?
Yeah, it is.
Moses is in a good place.
Yes, Lord.
And it took the providence of God to get him to where he is. God got his attention by a burning bush. And you see that in verse 30. A flame of fire and a bush. And Moses is drawn nigh. God's speaking to him. Moses is trembling, then God tells him, take his shoes off where you're standing, holy ground.
That's right.
Verse 34, God says it twice.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen the affliction of my people. Boy, I'm glad God,
the
Bible said, there's not a sparrow that falls that his eye doesn't see.
Right.
I'm glad that he sees our afflictions.
Yes, Lord.
And he's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. But he that formed the eye, the Bible says, shall he not see?
Mm.
He said, I've seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard. He can see and hear.
Yes.
He said, I've heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. Boy, God's been watching us.
Yeah, he does.
God's You're been hearing right. us.
Yeah.
I think he's about ready to come down and deliver
Amen.
Us.
Thank you, Lord.
He said, and now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush.
Mm.
Now Moses is a type of Christ. It'll bring that out here in a minute.
That's right.
He brought them out after that he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness. Now here it is 40 years. So Moses is now 120 years old.
Okay.
And this is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he, talking about Jesus, that was in the church in the wilderness. Boy, they had church out there in the wilderness, amen. A lot of deer hunters probably like that verse right there.
That's right.
But had church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai with their fathers, who received the lively oracles to give to us. He might have been 120 years old there, Brother Ed.
Yeah, he could have been.
Verse 36 mentions about that next 40 years.
Yeah, that's right.
To whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us, for as for this Moses which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not or we know not what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. You know, the world's like that. They want something to see. You see, faith is believing in something you don't see. Jesus showed up to the disciples. Thomas wasn't there. And the Lord left. Thomas come in. They said, we've seen the Lord. He said, I ain't going to believe unless I see. And Jesus showed up, told Thomas, feel his nail holes in his hands, thrust his hand in his side. Be not faithless, but believe. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, Thomas, because you've seen, you believed. But blessed are those that believe without seeing. That's faith, what I'm trying to say.
Right.
It doesn't take a lot of faith to believe in something when you see it.
No,
there's a
right.
wasp in here right now. I don't need no faith. I'm sitting there looking at it. Just telling you right now. But this faith right here, they made this calf And they rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Verse 42, then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it's written in the book of the prophets, O you house of Israel, have you offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, you took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your God, Rampan, figures which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. God's a jealous God.
Yes, He is.
He deserves worship, and He desires worship. Jesus told that woman in John chapter 4, He said, God is a spirit, and those that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
And He talked about true worshipers.
Yeah.
And they were false worshipers. And God has said, I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness as He appointed, speaking unto Moses that He would make it according to the fashion that He had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. Now, David wanted to build God a house.
Yeah.
And God told David his hand was too bloody. But He did let his son,
yeah,
verse 47,
yeah,
but Solomon built him a house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest?
Mm-hmm.
Have not my hand made all these things? Now, Stephen's fixing to get a little blunt right here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say pretty fired up right here.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 51, he says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. That's important.
Yeah, that's right. It is.
That uncircumcised in heart.
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about, Brother Eddie? Well, in the book of Colossians, it mentions about that circumcision made without hands.
Right.
You see, being born again has to be done of God.
Amen.
It's not like you can go to a doctor and say, I want you to circumcise my heart.
No.
In Colossians chapter number 2,
yeah,
it mentions in verse 10 that we are complete in Him, talking about Jesus,
right,
which is the head of all principality,
right,
and power, in whom also we are circumcised,
right,
with the circumcision made without hands.
Amen.
And the putting off, you need to get this.
Yeah.
A lot of preachers need to listen, Brother Eddie, right here. In putting off the body of sins,
mm-hmm,
of the flesh,
mm-hmm,
by the circumcision of,
right,
Christ. You see?
Right.
I can sin against my body.
Yeah.
I can smoke, get emphysema, COPD. I can get cancer, whatever. I can sin against my body,
yeah,
and my body's going to die.
Yeah.
But I can't sin against my soul.
Thank you,
the
Lord.
Soul that sinner shall die. This circumcision made without hands separated my body,
yeah,
from my soul.
That's right.
This, hey, is something that God did.
Yeah.
And here Stephen is. He says, you stiff-necked,
yeah,
and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye.
No.
Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which show before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Now, he unloaded on them and he got a reaction. Verse 54, When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, that will cut in the bone and marrow. I mean, this thing will cut you. It cut them to the heart. And they gnashed on Him with their teeth. They're not happy. They're mad. And they're taking their anger out on Him.
Yeah.
They're not trying to get right with God. They're not trying to repent. They're not saying like they did to Peter, "What shall we do?" He said, "Repent, be baptized." They're mad at the preacher. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, thank God Stephen stayed full.
That's right.
Looked up steadfastly unto heaven. Now he's fixed to be martyred. And saw the glory of God. Woo! Boy, what a sight that must have been.
Oh, man.
Now they're gnashing on him with their teeth.
Yeah, boy.
They're mad. And he's looking up steadfastly into heaven.
Yeah.
And he sees the glory of God. And he sees Jesus standing on the right hand of God.
Amen.
And said, "Behold, I see the heavens open." You know, at death's door. And I've been right there. At death's door, you're allowed to see a little better. These glasses help me see, read this Bible.
Yeah.
When you get at death's door, I don't know whether you get glasses or what, but I'll tell you this, you're able to see a whole lot further than you can see here right now.
Yeah, I bet.
Now, Stephen here, he says, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." And boy, this is a mad bunch. Then they cried out with a loud voice. Remember, Stephen's been set up.
Yeah.
They hired men. They cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. You know, this young boy saw something the young boys shouldn't see.
Right.
He saw not only violence, but he saw men that were full of a devil, gnashing with teeth, running on this preacher, stopping up their ears, stoning him, casting him out, says verse 59, and they stoned Stephen. I can just, in my mind's eye, I can just see them. They're not just throwing rocks. They're picking up rocks, and they want this man gone. They don't want to hear truth. They've rejected their conscience seared. They're abominable. They just want their way, not God's way. They want to get rid of the preacher. They want to get rid of the Word of God.
Well, Ed, is this the same Saul that Jesus
used? Yeah, it's in the next chapter. We'll be talking about Saul.
I thought it was.
And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. Boy, what a way to go. Stephen's calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Stephen, Stephen's ready to go home.
That's right.
He's finished his mission. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, notice it don't say he died.
No, he fell asleep.
I want you to get that.
That's right.
You see,
we don't die.
Them at sleep in Jesus will God bring with him.
That's right.
When he comes.
Amen.
He sees heaven open. Hey, he sees Jesus standing.
Yeah.
Hey, he's praying for these that are stoning, asking God not to lay this sin to their charge.
Yeah.
And when he had said this, he fell asleep. We'll stop right there. Father, we thank you for this lesson night, kind of long.
It was so good.
But Lord, we couldn't find no place to stop. We thank you for the Word of God. Oh, Lord, how informative it is, how inspired it is. Thank you for writing it and recording it.
Yeah.
Lord, even to this night here, January the 18th, 2023. We can still read it. We can still heed it. Lord, it still speaks, Lord, to our heart. Speaks volumes of truth. Thank you for the Word of God. Bless this lesson. Bless those that will be hearing it by way of internet, by way of the live stream. Help us to give the most earnest heed to your Word.
Yes.
Help us to draw nigh to you. And Lord, I pray you draw nigh to us. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Brenda, I'm going to leave all these receipts in my Bible. Okay, I brought them for you.